Get the buzz and be seen at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now, welcome to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Thank you for listening. This is Sharon Hill, and my guest today is Mr. Dan Prendergast of the Entrepreneur's Source. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Sharon.
My pleasure to see you today. Let's jump right into it. Dan, small business ownership today has probably crossed the minds of many of our listeners. What various ways do you recommend people can start their own business?
Sharon, there are basically three ways that you can start your own business. You can start a new business from scratch, okay, an independent business. Generally, that takes much more time and knowledge to be able to run that type of business, okay? You can purchase an existing business, okay? That saves time because you're inheriting things such as the brand, client base, and therefore cash flow, as well as the reputation. And your third choice is you can purchase a franchise. Some of the advantages of that are it saves both time and project management issues by inheriting a brand name, a client base, an operation system, reputation, and the success of the business. So.
And you're called the Entrepreneur Source. Why don't you tell us exactly what are you doing to help people with these franchises?
Sure. The Entrepreneur Source, Sharon, does the business development and owner recruiting for 290 franchise business models.
290?
Wow. Yes, ma'am. They pay us as consultants to identify, prepare, and present to them solid, viable potential owners that have a high probability of succeeding in their specific business.
Got it. Well, Dan, what are some of the pros and cons to the variety of those 290 business options that you have?
Okay. Franchise business ownership, one thing that's important to establish and to get the point across, franchise business ownership is not for everyone, okay? We have to have a client that is viable to be a franchisee. It is possible that perhaps they're a better fit for independent business ownership, okay? Or in some cases, people should not be a business owner at all. They should continue to work for other people. We help candidates identify their viability for franchise business ownership. So having said that, some potential pros of franchising, you get an established business model. You don't have to recreate the wheel. You just have to find something you can have some level of passion about and follow the system. Many different levels of support exist, both pre and post opening, okay? These levels of support can be fellow franchisees, they can be in-market regional developers or the franchisors. Many franchises have a high brand name recognition. Owners do not need to be an expert on every aspect of running the business. The franchise itself will coach and develop you in your opportunity areas. Franchising is regulated by the Federal Trade Commission, and therefore there is much disclosure of the business and access to all franchisees during the due diligence stage. Now, some potential cons of franchising. Usually they're more expensive to get into than an independent business. Some franchise rules, regulations, and uniformity clauses are too restrictive for some people. And there are bad franchises out there that people get into without doing their proper due diligence. So let's talk about some potential pros
okay.
of independent business ownership.
Okay.
Usually it's less expensive, can allow for more creativity. You don't have to pay any ongoing royalties or fees. Usually, it's not as risky if the person has been an independent business owner or grew up in an entrepreneurial family, okay? So they have already known what works and what doesn't work from having been a business owner or having been around business owners. Potential con of independent business ownership, many more independent businesses fail than franchises, okay? You don't have the level of support that you do in franchising, and often the support team charges you by the hour as an independent business owner. You have to create and implement such things as an operating and tactical sales and marketing plans. So you wear many hats, and it's easier to get sucked into becoming the technician of the business as opposed to being the entrepreneur or mayor of the business, as Michael Gerber states.
Michael Gerber, he wrote The E-Myth, one of my favorite books, which I recommend to all of our listeners. If you're thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, you must start with that book, Michael Gerber's The E-Myth. I'm glad you mentioned it, Dan.
Exactly right. We are big believers in the Gerber and the E-Myth system. In fact,
See?
We call it E-Mything Your Business.
E-Mything Your Business is the word now.
That's right. Yes.
Well, now you mentioned over 290 franchises. What are some of the industries that you represent?
Sure. We represent many different industries, about 45, okay? Some of these industries would be disaster restoration. It's a very recession-proof industry. Elder care, home health care.
That's big.
Also very recession-resistant. Home-based tutor models are doing quite well. Automobile repair models are doing well. Commercial cleaning is also a need business and not a want business, okay? A new industry that we're just coming onto the market now that we're getting into is mobile drug testing. Hair salons are quite recession resistant. Home inspection, home maintenance and repair, and those are just a few of the industries
You've
that we
covered
represent.
The gamut. That's short list. And you mentioned need versus want.
Correct.
I imagine that's the impetus for success.
It is. You want to look at a business and look at the current economic conditions, and is it a business that people need to have, like home health care, automobile repair, hair care, disaster restoration, or is it a business that in times when the economy is a little bit tougher in a recession state, families have to cut their discretionary income, so they're going to look at cutting things that are not absolutely necessary. Having said that, there are a couple of industries that are classically identified as want-based businesses that are doing pretty well in this economy. And I've already mentioned one in the home-based tutor model.
Yes.
And another one is pet-related businesses.
Of course.
What we find is that when it comes time to cut family discretionary income, the last things that get chopped are the kids and the pets.
Kids and the pets.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
So, didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, then I realized that selecting the not right fit is very closely associated both financially and emotionally for your potential clients. How do you go about finding the right business fit for a client? Is it something like a Myers-Briggs questionnaire or some kind of a survey? How do you make sure it's right for that person?
Actually, we have a couple of tools that we deploy in addition to all the questions that we're trained to ask. We use the Targeted Training International DISC profile. This allows us and our businesses and our clients to better understand themselves. We also use other technology-based resources that allow us to understand our clients' goals, needs, and expectations. Lastly, we are trained to ask many questions that are designed to help us formulate what is the right fit for the client in terms of income, investment, ownership level, and lifestyle expectation. In short, what does the ideal business look like? Okay, so we're trying to build what the ideal business looks like by getting to know the clients very well and then going out and finding businesses and introducing them to those businesses that we think they'll be excited to learn about, and just as importantly, the business will be excited to learn about the person that I've brought to them.
Does that create an aha moment for your client as far as this is what we recommend based on the profile that you just described?
Yeah, it's really neat and exciting when a client has allowed you to learn about them and help them build what an ideal business looks like. And then you introduce them, and then they start to get excited, and they come back to you, and they say, yes, this is looking good. And the franchisor says, you know what? this is exactly the type of owner that we want representing our brand. So, yes, it's very exciting when that right fit happens and kind of the lights go on with the client and the franchisor.
I imagine also people get quite excited, especially if they've just perhaps lost their job with corporate America or something. And now you've given them that fit that says this is for you when they agree with you.
Exactly right.
Beautiful.
Exactly right.
Well, Dan, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about recession-proof industries or businesses.
Okay. Sounds great, Sharon.
Thank you. You're listening to 1360 WCHL, Today's Business with Sharon Hill. I'm talking today with Mr. Dan Prendergast of the Entrepreneur's Source. We'll be right back.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, back to today's business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back. We're talking today with Mr. Dan Prendergast of Entrepreneur's Source. Dan, before the break, I told you we're going to talk about the recession-proof or resistant industry or business, if such a thing exists. Can you share any examples of these businesses?
I sure can. Again, it's good to define to some level recession-proof and recession-resistant. These are businesses or industries that operate to some extent, and in some examples to a complete extent, independently of what's happening in the economy, and specifically what's happening up on Wall Street or in Washington, D.C. They are, again, the need-based businesses, okay? So some examples of these in the disaster restoration industry, okay, is Puroclean, ServPro, okay? So these are companies that do emergency fire, smoke, water remediation. So let's say somebody's house catches on fire, their pipes burst, there's a natural disaster like a hurricane or a tornado. These are the folks that come in and do the cleanup, okay? So it's a type of business that the work needs to be done, okay? Another example that we talked about is hair care. Mm-hmm. So we do many of the big hair care chains like Fantastic Sam's, Great Clips, Sports Clips, just to name a few. Pretty recession resistant because people's hair is going to keep on growing.
I would think.
Unless it's like mine and it falls out. Okay. And they're going to keep needing to get it cut. Another example, we mentioned this, is the home health care, the elder care. Okay. These are businesses that provide personal companion and in-home medical care generally, but not always, to folks that want to remain in their home and need help. They need help with cleaning up their house, shopping, maybe getting dressed, bathing, things like this. So some of the businesses that we represent in this industry would be Comfort Keepers, Always Best Care are just a couple that we do. Another example would be of a recession-resistant business or proof business would be the car care industry, okay? So people right now probably aren't buying as many new cars as they used to. So what's that mean? They're holding on to their present vehicles for a longer period of time, which means they're going to have a greater need to have these vehicles repaired. So we do companies like Meineke Car Care, Precision Auto Care are a couple of the higher, bigger name brands in our portfolio of businesses. So there's a few examples of some recession-proof, recession-resistant industries, and then some businesses that are specifically in those industries.
When you mention home care, when you mention the auto repair, I know you said earlier a person doesn't have to be an expert in those areas themselves because they're just buying the franchise. But does that mean they have higher costs now because they have to hire experts in those fields as their employees?
That's a good question, but not necessarily the case, okay? Many people go into franchising into an industry and a business that is completely unrelated to what they did in their previous career. People do this because sometimes it allows them to spark a passion that maybe wasn't able to be sparked in their previous jobs. Maybe they like working with elderly people. Maybe they like working with children. Maybe they like working with pets, okay? The franchises, for the most part, don't usually care. They're not concerned with the person's professional background matching what their industry is. They want somebody who has performed a good due diligence of their business and has gotten to a point that says, yes, I can be passionate about this business and I will follow the operating system and the model. They want people that understand the value of a tactical sales and marketing plan and operating and implementing, I should say, a tactical sales and marketing plan. They want people that understand the value in the small business world of networking, okay, getting out, being involved, chamber of commerce, networking groups, leads groups, kind of being the mayor of your business. In general, they want somebody that they feel is going to add value to their name, okay? And the other thing that I share with people, because it is very true, at the Entrepreneur Source, we help literally thousands of people each year start their own businesses, and about 60% go into something that's completely unrelated.
60%?
Yes, ma'am.
About six out of ten
people go into something completely unrelated to what they were doing before.
Got it. Well, Dan, how did you get involved in this business?
Well, I'm part of that 60%. Okay.
Tell us more.
I was in the hotel business for many years, 23 years, most of it with Marriott. Okay. I love the business. Okay. I love dealing with guests. I love dealing with employees. My specialty was I opened hotels. I moved a lot in those 22 years. I moved 14 times, in fact, in those 22 years. About half of them were before I got married, half of them after I got married. After one of the last moves, my wife came to me and said, let me tell you something. If they want you to move anymore, go right ahead.
Because we're not.
But we're not going. So that was a little bit of
That's
motivation.
An eye-opener, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So at the time, I was 43, 44 years old. Had always wanted to own my own business. Kind of had that itch to be self-sufficient. So I came into contact with a business broker and looked at buying independent businesses. He was talking to me about several independent businesses, and I was turning him down. And he looked at me one afternoon in his office, and he shook his finger, and he said, you know, he said, you're like a lot of these guys that I deal with who come out of the corporate world, and you may have been, you know, fairly successful mid to upper level manager, but when it comes to business ownership, you really don't know that much. He said, you need to go right down the road to a gentleman that has a business called the Entrepreneur Source and meet with this guy. He does franchising, okay? So 10 minutes later, true story, I'm sitting in this gentleman who turned out to be my coach's office over in Greensboro, and he took me through the same experience that I take my clients through. And as I was going through it, I really said, you know, this is what this guy's doing. I think I could be passionate and pretty good. So in the end, this business broker friend of mine cost himself a sale potentially by referring me to go to the franchise route.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So,
are you a mentor for the people that you have the match with the businesses?
Yeah, it's a great question. In many cases, yes. Okay. In many cases, maybe because of location, I get to see them face to face as opposed to many of my clients who are in California or Texas. I don't get to see face to face. But if I develop a close relationship with them and they develop a close relationship with me, and it's more of just a transactional type of relationship, then often I will stay on and keep in touch with them, sometimes to act as kind of a buffer, that they'll call me up and say, what do you think? The franchise wants me to do this, this, or that. So oftentimes I do stay on because I want to see my clients be successful. Okay. And then the other thing is my successful satisfied and happy clients can be good referral sources for future clients for me as well.
Do you stay as a mentor forever with them, or is there a cutoff period when you think you're the eaglet is ready to leave the nest, so you can now let them go?
I generally will stay on as long as we feel the communication between the two of us remains productive, and that usually is ongoing. Okay, I have no reason to stop being in contact with my folks as they continue to ramp up their businesses and be successful and reach an established point. So generally, I continue to keep in touch with my folks that have started businesses.
That's very reassuring, especially when people are putting out that kind of money to know that you're going to be there with them, that the entrepreneur source is still going to be with them.
Exactly.
Dan,
right.
Let's take another break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you to talk about some of the actual companies you represent and what they do.
Okay. Thank Sounds
you.
Great.
Great. You're listening to WCHL 1360, Today's Business with Sharon Hill, talking to my friend, Mr. Dan Prendergast of the Entrepreneur Source. We'll be right back.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, back to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back. We're talking with Mr. Dan Prendergast of the Entrepreneur's Source. Dan, before the break, we said we're going to come back and talk about some of the actual companies that you represent and what they do. Why don't you fill us in?
Sounds great. I'd be happy to, Sharon. Many of our businesses, and there's approximately 300 that we represent, have a high brand name recognition. They are an established business, okay? Many of them do not have an established brand name that most people would recognize. That could be because of a couple reasons. Maybe the company is more of in an emerging state, okay? Or maybe, and this really exists, they're in an industry that is heavily dominated by franchising, but kind of falls under the radar a little bit, where even the biggest players, most people would not normally be familiar with. So examples of some of the higher brand name recognition companies that most people would know, we do ServPro Disaster Restoration. We've spoke about them.
Right.
We do Meineke Car Care. We do Amoco. They're a big automobile repair, okay? We do Fantastic Sam's, Great Clips. We do Alpha Graphics. They're a big digital print house. We do CertaPro. They're a professional painting firm. We do Lawn Doctor, pretty well-known.
I've heard of all those. Yeah,
that's
big.
Right. We do Fast Signs, which is a sign manufacturing model, okay? Let's see who else. We do Cartridge World, another name that's pretty well recognized, okay? Now, some of the businesses that we represent that do not have a high brand name recognition, and it's also important to state that just because the business is emerging or they don't have a widely accepted name, doesn't mean that they're not a great franchise, okay? Some of those, Doctors Express, it's a franchised urgent care, okay? Bookkeeping Express, it's a business that helps a small and medium-sized business owner manage their books and their financials. FiberNew is a company that does leather and plastic restoration to automobiles, homes, cars, planes, things like this. Wynn Home Inspection is a home inspection model. Let's see what else. Aero Colors is a mobile automobile repair business, okay?
Mobile automobile repair.
So
cool.
What they do is they help automobile dealers and their used car dealers get their vehicles into as close to like-new condition by doing upholstery repair or paint repair or things that the automobile dealer may not have the in-house resources to be able to accomplish, okay? So those are just some examples of some of, you know, businesses that wouldn't have a high name recognition. You know, again, we have 300 businesses. They cover 60 different industries, okay? And most people would be amazed at some of the industries that are franchised, okay? Just a couple quick examples. We have a franchise that does divorce settlement negotiation.
What?
There is a business that picks up pet waste, okay? We have another pet-related business that goes out and secures people that serve as pet babysitters while they're on vacation, okay? So they go out and they find host homes to basically babysit people's pets while they're on vacation. So
what a range.
Generally, if most people have thought about something, it's somebody's went out and franchised the concept.
What if one of our listeners says, these industries sound like some of the ideas I've had in the past? Would they find you or would you find them if they have an idea that they want to get out as a franchise?
Well, it could be either. They could find me or I could find them. But one of the business lines that the Entrepreneur Source does is we help existing businesses, independent businesses who want to be franchised. We help perform an analysis with them that tells them exactly if they are ready to be franchised, and if not, basically an action plan that they can follow to get to the point where we will then take them through the franchise disclosure process and actually being able to franchise their business model.
So you cover it all, soup to nuts, when it comes to franchises, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking, money. Tell us, what is the investment range of the businesses that the Entrepreneur Source represents?
Sure. Our total investment range is $20,000 to $800,000. Total investment is defined as franchise fee, any equipment or inventory that is needed to open the business on day one. It is business operating capital. So these are necessary business-related expenses that the owner will have to incur during the ramp-up period, and generally some personal operating capital. So that investment range, again, is $20,000 to $800,000. And that further defined, probably 60% of all of our businesses fall into a $50,000 to $150,000 total investment range.
Do those tend to be more for the more established franchises? I imagine emerging might be a better deal financially.
It could be, but generally it's going to go back to whether it's a home-based business or consultant, a portable or mobile business, or maybe a business that just requires you to have an office. So therefore, you don't have a lot of equipment or inventory, especially in a home-based business, okay, a consultant type of business. Many of these businesses that we represent that are home-based consultant, all you need is a computer and a phone line.
And okay? You're ready to go.
Yes. It's your brick and mortar types of businesses, your restaurants, your hair salons, your automobile repair centers, your learning centers that have brick and mortar, real estate involved, equipment and inventory. Those are going to be the types of businesses that are going to push the total investment up to $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000.
I'm fascinated that you didn't say anything in the millions. Did I hear $800,000 is the top?
Yeah, that's a great point because I get asked that all the time. We choose at the Entrepreneur Source not to do the quote unquote big boys out there, the McDonald's or the Chick-fil-A's, and for a couple reasons. Those companies tend to want to do all of their business development internally. And from a practicality standpoint, there's very few people out there that can afford that type of investment. So we want to play in an arena where there are people that can afford the types of investments that we choose to represent.
That makes sense. Love it. Well, in the next 2 minutes that we have left, why don't you describe what the typical background is of your clients and why have they contacted you as opposed to exploring the franchise?
Sure. I'd be happy to, Sharon. Most of my clients come to me from one of three different types of positions or previous experiences. Many come to me because they're in some form of career transition, usually due to a layoff, okay? So we work with them oftentimes while they are exploring jobs back in the corporate world, again, as I've stated, on the possibility of them being a franchise business owner. People come to me who are currently working for somebody else but do not want to be working for somebody else.
Which is quite a few people,
right.
I believe.
You and me, right?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. They have that entrepreneurial drive or that itch to become self-sufficient. Generally, the third category of people that I'm working with are people that are still employed in the corporate world, plan to continue to stay employed for a certain period of time, but for various reasons want to pick up a semi-absent or passive model that allows for them to keep their quote-unquote day job and only calls for the owner to have a very limited semi-absent involvement in the business, maybe 10 to 20 hours a week.
Sweet deal.
Right. Many times people will, and I've worked with clients in helping them get into semi-absent models that are maybe 4 or 5 years from retirement, maybe 2 or 3 years. So they want to get something started that they can transition to as they retire, drive some incremental revenue, but still only put a limited amount of time in the business.
Let's come back to that retiree discussion, Dan. We're going to take a break again.
Okay.
You're listening to 1360 WCHL. This is Sharon Hill having a discussion with Mr. Dan Prendergast of the Entrepreneur Source. We'll be right back.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, back to today's business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Thank you for staying with us. We're talking with Mr. Dan Prendergast of the Entrepreneur Source. Dan, in our last segment, you were talking about just getting involved in franchises, and you said something that sparked my next question. What if a person knows that they're going to be retiring soon, or they suspect they're going to get the axe from their corporate job? How soon do you recommend they should contact you to consider discussions for a franchise?
Sure, be happy to address that. Normally, we recommend that people contact us generally 1 to 4 months out from when they might be making a decision to move into business ownership. And the reason for that, Sharon, is because our operating system or our sales cycle takes some time. It takes some time on the front end because I want to make sure that I really get to know my clients well. What does the ideal business look like? Then our operating system calls for them to take a very disciplined approach to performing a good, thorough due diligence and validation of that business model. So they're studying all aspects of the business model. They're becoming educated by the franchisor. The franchisor is also getting to know the client to make sure that they think the client is a good fit for their business. That can take anywhere between 1 to 3 months from when I introduce a client to a business till they reach a point where they have enough information to make a rational decision to invest or not in a business.
Around 4 months is a good average.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sure we have listeners who are chomping at the bit to contact you, Dan. Could you give us your phone number and website, please?
Sure. My phone number is 800-495-3085. Again, that's 800-495-3085. And my website is www.esourcecoach.com. which is ESOURCECOACH.com/DPRENDERGAST.
Spell that name one more time, Dan.
Sure. It is, my last name, again, is Prendergast. So it's www.esourcecoach.com/DPRENDERGAST. GAST.
Thank you so much. Well, let's look at the other side of the coin now, Dan. Tell me, what are the percentages of success and failure overall for franchises?
Sure. Overall, and I'll cite United States Small Business Association 2008 figure, so they're a couple years old. After 10 years, about 8.5 out of 10 franchises are still going to be in existence, as opposed to about 1.5 out of 10 independent businesses. Reasons being, you don't have to, as we've spoke to already in a franchise, create and implement an operating system, a sales and marketing system, and you have various levels of support and people that can coach and mentor you when you come into an area that you're not familiar with and you're running into some difficulty.
So got it.
That would be the answer.
That percentage is pretty good. The success rates, that's a good percent.
It is.
Just gave us.
It is. And each industry is going to be a little bit different, okay,
of
when
course.
You look at the success ratio of each business, even further defined. But the thing that's important, I think, to communicate is when somebody's investigating a franchise through the franchise disclosure document, they're going to be able to figure out exactly what the success and the failure rate of that particular business is, because that business has to disclose that to them in the franchise disclosure document.
Now, I've heard that financing is tough these days to start a business. Can you speak to ways that you are helping your clients to fund their businesses?
Sure. We have funding resource partners that we will introduce our clients to at the appropriate time. Many of our clients are choosing to use a 401k rollover to capitalize their business. Many of the businesses that we work with offer internal financing. Many of the businesses, if there's inventory and equipment involved, that equipment and inventory can be leased, especially the equipment, not as much the inventory. There are what is called business lines of credit that are available. SBA loans are also available. So what we do is we will take a look at, from a non-invasive standpoint, the client's financial snapshot. And that is very valuable information when it comes time to look at investment levels. I don't want to bring a client a $300,000 business to invest in when all they really are comfortable with is investing in a $75,000 business.
I understand.
So we help introduce our clients to different funding options that are out there.
That's got to be a relief for some who are probably wondering, where can I get some help here?
It is, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
In your experience, what separates a good versus a bad franchise? And what are some of the characteristics of a successful franchisee?
Sure. I'll take the first question. Characteristic of a good franchise is that they are looking at it in your success over a long period of time and not a short period of time, okay? The best franchises out there will generally break even and sometimes lose money on the upfront franchise fee. They are in it and they know that they can make more money, much more money, through the royalties with a happy, productive, royalty-producing franchisee for a 10 to 20-year period, okay? So those businesses, and I advise my clients, you can find out if the business has a short-term or long-term approach to how they treat their clients. Second part of your question is overall characteristics, I believe, of franchisees. These businesses want people who have taken the time to clearly study their business model, okay, and have spoken to franchisees out there who have told them and confirmed that this is a viable, good business. By studying that business model for a long period of time, it may be 1 to 3 months, okay, that client is able to really narrow down if this business is a good fit for them. It's also just as important for the franchisors, okay, the people of the franchises that we represent, that they get to know our clients very well to make sure that the client is a good fit, and they would, in fact, award a franchise. So the ability to follow the operating system is huge. The ability to be able to implement a sales and marketing program is huge. And also the ability to be a good networker and to be out in front of people and not afraid to pick up the phone or go out and make sales calls is huge. So
that's what makes a good one.
Yes,
makes
ma'am.
Sense. My last question, Dan, is I've heard of someone purchasing a franchise and then the franchise service closes shop. Can you tell us what to watch out for in those instances? So how do you avoid them in the first place? And what do you do if we find ourselves in that position?
Sure. To avoid them, Sharon, allow us to coach you through performing a thorough and complete due diligence of that business. That includes evaluation of the franchisor financial position and individual financial performances of the franchisees. It includes the amount of legal action taken against the business, against the franchisor. It includes number of failures, okay? Very importantly, communications with the franchisees. We coach our clients to go out and they have full access through the franchise disclosure document. Call 5, 10, 15 franchisees that are out there.
Makes sense.
Ask them what their experience is, and knowing what they do now, would they reinvest in that business? And then the other thing that's really important is a franchise disclosure document, uniform franchise offering circular review by a franchise attorney who can look at that document and tell you if there's anything that you may be ready to sign up that'll make you nervous.
See, that makes all the sense in the world. Bring in the attorneys. You've got to do that.
Yes, ma'am.
Dan, you've been fascinating. I thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today, and good luck with your business.
Thank you very much for having me, Sharon.
Thank you. You've been listening to 1360 WCHL, Today's Business with Sharon Hill. My guest today has been Mr. Dan Prendergast of the Entrepreneur Source. Thank you for listening.